The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Let me ask you a question. So you've been a judge, you've adjudicated matters of the law. Has anybody done a systematic study of what mass shooters have in common? Yeah, I mean, I've done this for more than 25 years. I still don't really understand what motivates people to do something like this. Is there a good faith effort anywhere to find out that you're aware of?
You know, it's interesting in law enforcement, and that's the majority of my career as a prosecutor. And, you know, we don't really look into the motivation. Our job as prosecutors is to prove the crime. Motive is really, unless it has to do with intent versus recklessness, their state of mind. Motive is not something that we consider. That's something that the sociologists would look into, or the psychologists.
Amid all the clips from last night after that horrific mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. That's the one that stood out to me. There you have one of the best commentators on cable news admitting that I really don't understand how this can happen. And then there's Judge Jeanine. Of course, her background is in law enforcement, and she's an attorney. She doesn't know either. She says, well, let's just leave that to the psychologist. Let the psychologist figure out why an 18-year-old boy would waltz into a fourth grade classroom and gun down 19 9 and 10-year-olds. There is a reason why these horrific events happen. There's a reason why they are increasing. There's a reason why they're happening with greater frequency. And we'll get into that and much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We are back into our friendly confines here, the headquarters studio in Edmond, Oklahoma, after a long road trip yesterday, a road trip in which I was able to listen to a little more of the mainstream news than usual, and coming right at a time when, obviously, the focus of the nation is on that shooting at the elementary school in Texas. Firstly, you can get to our live audio stream through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Of course, our video stream is made available exclusively at our website. That's thetrumpet.com. TheTrumpet.com/ takes you right to the live stream page so that you can catch the live stream every day here in the central time zone of the United States. We're starting at 11:05 each day. We were just out in Arizona, staying at a house in Munns Park, just a little bit south of Flagstaff. And if you're watching Friday and Monday, of course, we had a Zoom hookup. Not the best quality in the world, but certainly it allowed for us to broadcast from a remote location. So that was pretty cool. Sam, of course, filled in last Thursday. Richard hopped into the broadcasting seat yesterday at our Edstone studio. So we certainly appreciate all of the fill-ins. And we're grateful to you for, as I say, joining our growing audience. So in the broadcasting last night, there was a lot of repetition, of course, a lot of updating of statistics and things. I did take note, too, besides the one I just played for you, of this other exchange. I forget who the Fox host was. I think Shannon Bream. She was on with a pastor who he didn't really get into why events like this happen, why we have these tragedies on a mass scale. But he did talk about how that it's important to think about Jesus at times like this. And furthermore, he said, this is all the more reason why that you should be saved, that you should receive Jesus into your heart, because those little children that were murdered yesterday in Uvalde, Texas, they're with Jesus right now. And the only way that you're, this is really what he was implying, the only way that you're going to see them again is if you get saved. And so there was a little bit of commentary on the conservative side about Jesus and about the Bible. But I didn't listen to all of it, I'll admit. But I didn't hear anything about Satan the devil. Satan the devil is the god of this world. And when something like this happens in South Texas, there's no mention of him. Not one mention. Imagine if someone went on Tucker Carlson's show and said, well, you know, Tucker, the reason these events happen, the commonality that there is between all of these deranged lunatics is that they're most likely Satan-possessed. They're possessed of demons. There is a real spirit world. And the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. So much mention of the Bible and not one word about the devil. Just think about that for a second. It's like Satan's just blotted it out. It's like the election steal. You can talk all the way around that subject, hitting a little bit over here or a little bit over there, but don't dare go to what actually happened on November 3rd. This is the way the devil operates. He is responsible. He's responsible for the family dysfunction in the United States. He's the one behind this cultural cesspool that we're in at the moment. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. The demons, they're having a heyday. It's a big party for the demons underneath Satan's direction. You can see their fingerprints on everything. My father wrote after the Charlottesville violence. This was from back in 2017. He said, demons prey on empty minds. Here's Joe Biden. He gets up and immediately goes after the gun lobby, whatever that is. I guess he's talking about the Second Amendment and the people the law-abiding people that just own guns. Or maybe the gun manufacturers. That's the problem. The gun is the problem. What about the fact that demons prey on empty minds, as my father said back in 2017? If there are empty minds, yes, indeed, fatherless household, contempt for the mother, and obviously the grandmother, he shot her before he went to the school. And then the pictures on social media of him dressed up as a woman, you're not going to get that angle. Is he a transgender? That's not going to be covered. Let's just leave that aside. And then all of the friends that come forward from the fast food joint he worked at. Oh, yeah, he was troubled. He loved driving around town with a BB gun and just shooting people. He was gearing up for the real event. Demons prey on minds like that. And then, of course, this is always the case. The interactions that he had with law enforcement. That's right. All of the domestic disturbances instances. Yeah, that's right. He actually had interactions with law enforcement. And yet, as we've come to see with case after case after case, nothing was done ahead of time to prevent this. My father said here, demons are the hidden cause of our society's many incurable problems. You want to talk about the Bible? You want to bring a pastor onto your program? Well, then why not go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4? Why not go to Ephesians 2 and verse 2, where it says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air? Why not talk about human nature, which is described as incurably sick? That's how it's described in the Bible. It's deceitful and wicked above all things, the prophet Jeremiah said. Why not go to Revelation 12 and verse 9 and point out how that the whole world is deceived, including the world of religion? Obviously. That's the message. That's the takeaway that this pastor has from this tragedy. You got to get saved so you can see your little child in heaven. Well, those little children, they are going to be brought back to life. There is hope. We will see them again. It's not going to be in heaven for those who are saved. That's not a teaching of the Bible. So many false teachings that Satan perpetuates. But the Bible does talk about a resurrection from the dead. The Bible does talk about those that have never had an opportunity for salvation being raised to physical life so that they can then live out their physical lives in a society that's peaceful and law-abiding and obedient and happy and submissive to God's government. That's what's missing in every nation on this earth. Certainly missing from the United States of America. This nation, I mean, it's in the midst of bitter affliction. It's not like the rifle was just created 10 or 12 years ago. They didn't have mass shootings like this, anything like this, a few generations back, and yet there were guns. Americans have had guns from the very beginning. Okay, so we have more guns than any other nation. They're there. Do these people really believe that something like, well, we've got to have another law? Steve Kerr, the NBA coach, he's out there saying, we've got to have another law. 50 Republicans are stonewalling this. Those 50 people are to blame. They're the cause for these shootings. And just a year and a half ago, he was out on the streets during the BLM riots saying we need to get police out of the schools. We don't need any security in the schools. That's not the message we want to send to black communities. Just get rid of the police. Get rid of the security. Do these people really think that their ideas will work? Not one of them talks about the devil. Not one of them talks about the demons. Not one of them talks about the prince of the power of the air. My father says, you need to read my booklet, America Under Attack. That's right here. If you don't have this, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. He says, you need to read that booklet. It says, an invisible evil power is destroying this nation with great speed and fury. Our nation is being destroyed. And now you get the argument. Now everything's politicized. Joe Biden barely waited 2 seconds. They were still trying to find, parents were still trying to find out if their child was killed. And the fake president is up there talking about the gun lobby. We've got to confront the gun lobby. And then, of course, right on cue, here comes Barack Obama with his tweet. The gun lobby. The gun lobby's the problem. The gun lobby, they're responsible for raising a demented boy. They're responsible for raising up a violent, evil, demented child who wanted to kill people. Is that the gun lobby's problem? Or does this go much, much deeper? Of course it goes deeper than that. How about going after the guns in the hands of criminals? Maybe we could start there. Nobody's gonna disagree with that movement. How about taking the guns out of the hands of criminals? How many times do we hear about, well, in the case of Adam Lanza, he got his guns from his mother, I believe, broke into the cabinet, the safe. So how do you stop this? In a nation with hundreds of millions of guns and ammunition all over the place, how do you stop it? I mean, we're not necessarily here saying everybody and their dog should have a gun, but there are a lot of guns in the United States. And there's also a Second Amendment. And there's another side of this story where ordinary, law-abiding citizens, they see their guns as something that will protect them from tyranny. Not to mention from violent criminals who, in case you didn't know, are roaming the streets right now. How many children are shot in just the city of Chicago every single year? Did you know it's into the hundreds? Last year, it was something like 260 children that were gunned down. I don't remember how many got killed. It's more than got killed yesterday, I believe. So, yeah, yesterday, a horrific tragedy. Of course it's a horrific tragedy. But it's happening every day, little by little, little by little. Death by a thousand cuts, as they say. It's all over the streets of America. How many reports do you hear? I just saw one yesterday from Washington, D.C. pretty nice upscale neighborhood. People that were just living their lives for the last couple of decades. Now they don't want to. Now there's cars running up on the sidewalk at 4 a.m. It's just mayhem, basically. People getting shot up. People fearing for their lives if they go out late at night. This is the United States of America. My father said in the booklet, this is America under attack. An invisible evil power is destroying this nation with great speed and fury. Isn't it a shame that these commentators don't pick up the phone and say, let's see, who wrote America Under Attack? Let's get Mr. Fleury on the line and see if he'll interview. Because you know what? He said that there's this evil power that's destroying our nation. And then I'm looking around at our nation. There's a lot of destruction. No, they're not going to go for that option. They're going to go for the pastor that says, get saved and you'll see your child with Jesus in heaven when you die. Is that it? Is that all that they have? No wonder so many people are just turned off by religion. Why did this happen? How could this happen? There are answers. If you care to look into your Bible and see what the God of the Bible says about the whole world being cut off from God, starting back in the early chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. How could this happen? My father says here, this is another article where he's talking about religion today, the traditional Christian religion in particular. This is August 10th, 2019. This is in the Trumpet magazine, Tomorrow's News Today. Tomorrow's News Today. If you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet magazine, you better call our operators and subscribe. We've got an email address too, td@thetrumpet.com. Send in your request to me and I'll forward it over to the MPC department and we'll get you a one-year subscription. There's no cost, no obligation. If you really want to understand world events and know why these things are happening, you've got really sharp thinkers, prominent commentators that basically are telling you last night, I just don't understand. And then pastors, why did this happen? Well, I don't really have an explanation for that, but just get saved. This is when we need Jesus the most. Well, okay. We do need prayer. We do need Jesus. But what did Jesus say about our world? What did Jesus preach about the end times? Let's get specific. My father says here, how many religions teach that God's law was done away with today? Almost all of them. Isn't that amazing? On the one hand, you've got a lot of conservative commentators out there arguing for law and order. One of them, I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, American Greatness, said that we need to bring back public executions. Well, they do need to go after criminals. Even in ancient Israel. I mean, hear and fear. If you dishonored your parents as a child, you could be stoned to death for that. Well, I don't think there would have been that many stonings after the first couple of times. And certainly there needs to be a crackdown on these criminals. Here's Joe Biden and company getting up and saying, gun lobby, gun lobby, gun lobby. Even as they're handcuffing the police and letting criminals run free from the prisons. Just opening the doors of the prisons and letting out the criminals. And then, as I said earlier, all of these mass shooters, more and more of them, they had all of these this violent activity in their history on social media. Even law enforcement officials, they had disputes with law enforcement. And yet these problems, a lot of people just turn a blind eye to them. Oh, well, it's just normal. It's just our culture. It's just rhetoric. And then it explodes into something like this. And then the talking heads are screaming at the top of their lungs. On the one side, it's the gun people, the gun manufacturers. On the other side, we need security. We need fences. We need one point of entry. We need security guards. We need someone in the school with a gun, with a firearm. This is all they have. And meanwhile, like my father says, an invisible evil power is destroying this nation with great speed and fury. It's painful to watch. How many religions teach that God's law was done away with today? We want law and order in our society. But then we go into the church on Sunday morning, and we don't want to hear about law. We don't want to hear about the Ten Commandments. We don't want to hear about, well, you've got to obey the laws of God. That's Old Testament, don't you know? It's Old Testament. Jesus came to talk about love. And when we have a tragedy on a mass scale like this, just talk about Jesus. Talk about love. Talk about getting saved. And then see your loved ones in heaven. What did Jesus say about God's law? He said, think not that I come to destroy the law. No, I came to magnify it. You've heard it said, you know, not to murder somebody. Not to commit adultery with somebody. I'm here to tell you that to harbor that kind of hatred in your heart, you're guilty of murder. To lust after a woman, you're guilty of adultery. That's some kind of magnification. Here's Jesus shining a light on the human heart. This is at its root. This is the cause. Human nature, which is actually Satan's nature. Read these verses that you hear so often on this show. Sadly, not on any other show. But in Jeremiah 17, 9, Romans 8 and verse 7, Ephesians 2 and verse 2, Revelation 12 and verse 9, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. Read them. Let's get into the Bible. Let's get specific. My father says here, there is cause and effect. There's a cause for every problem. The cause of our violent and bloody crimes is that as a society, we have rejected God's law. You're probably not going to hear that on any of the news shows. I don't think there's going to be a pastor knocking on the door of Fox News saying, hey, I got a message. I've got something to say after this tragedy. The message I have is that the cause of violence and bloody crime is because we've rejected God's law as a people, as a nation, as a society. My father says that law would bring peace and abundance to our society in every way. The more we transgress it, the worse our bloody crimes become. This is why these kinds of tragedies, these kinds of horrific acts of violence, this is why they're getting worse and why they're happening with greater frequency. Because our sins. It's because of our sins. The more we transgress God's law, the worse our bloody crimes become. I mean, to hear these people, these sanctimonious preachers in politics, go on and on about how they've got the solution. So many of them were promoting violence, murder, burning, looting just 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Today's the two-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. Just 2 years ago, people were saying, take to the streets. Because what this one police officer did, it really symbolizes the problem with all of white people in general. So burn the cities down. Just burn them down. You got to get the attention of the whiteys. You've got to get their attention. And so people burn the cities down. Whites, blacks, Hispanics, the police just stood down, let it happen for the most part. And people were murdered. How many in the end? I think it was 45 to 50. 50 people murdered. And the talking heads, so many of them. And politicians, so many of them. Encouraging the lawlessness. And many of those same people now are saying, See, we're not going to talk about the shooter. Forget about him. He's not the story. It's the gun. It's the gun manufacturer. It's the gun lobby. And so we'll get a steady diet of that now for the next several days. Last week it was Buffalo. This week it's Uvalde. What will it be next week? Everything's politicized. Everything's about politics. listen to the fake president yesterday as he spent about 2 seconds on the victims and then launched into his anti-gun tirade. This is clip two.
As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage. What in God's name do you need a assault weapon for except to kill someone? For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry. Where in God's name is our backbone to have the courage to deal with it and stand up to the lobbies? It's time to turn this pain into action. It's time to act. It's time for those who obstruct or delay or block the common sense gun laws. We need to let you know that we will not forget.
There's your illegitimate president over and again taking God's name in vain. No big deal. I mean, come on. Those commandments, that's Old Testament. I mean, you've got to take God's name in vain to make your point, to really let people know that you're serious, that you're angry, that you've got to confront the gun lobby, that the gun is the problem, not human nature. Not going easy or soft on criminals. Not the family breakdown right across society. Not the fact that the shooter's fatherless. None of that matters. It's just the gun lobby. And make sure you take God's name in vain over and over and over again to make your point. My father wrote in August 2019, America has lost the war on crime, and the consequences are going to be staggering. You can't lose a war without devastating results. You read that and think, well, I don't know if I want to get into what you're talking about. It's kind of depressing. Well, would you rather just pretend that adding a law to the books, the books, by the way, that contain hundreds of thousands of laws, pass another law. Just pass another law in Congress. Says the NBA coach that really doesn't want law and order on the streets of America. Just pass another law in Congress, everything's fixed. Say the people that go to church on Sunday and basically tell the preacher, don't talk to me about law or else I'm going to find another church. I'm going to go to another church that preaches to me smooth things, that gives me a message that just kind of tickles the ears, as the Apostle Paul said. What does the Bible say? This is Ezekiel 7, verse 1. It says, moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, also, you son of man, thus saith the Eternal God unto the land of Israel, and end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. That the end is come. And then look what it says later in the chapter. This is Ezekiel 7 and verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Make a chain. I mean, there's just it's one violent episode after another, and it's everywhere that you look. My father says here, the only solution to our crime, let me just back up. Our land is so satiated with bloody crimes that one crime follows another like links in a chain, just the way God prophesied it would be. I mean, how perfectly does that describe the one mass shooting after another? There's mass shootings happening virtually every weekend in Chicago where one gunman shoots 3, 4, 5 people. You don't hear a thing about it. You don't hear about it until it fits the narrative perfectly. And then, like I said, he can't even wait 2 seconds to find out where the guy got the guns, to find out about his background, to find out who he is, to find out how disturbed he was. Can't even wait to listen to all the facts as they roll in. It's just jump to conclusions. Use it as an opportunity to bludgeon your political opponents. That's always what it's about with the radical left. How can we use this tragedy? How can we use this crisis to beat up on Donald Trump or the Republicans in Congress? The only solution to our crime problem, my father says, is God's truth. And that truth is in only one church today, God's church. That's not boasting. Turn on the news like last night. And you hear from the pastor, you hear from some of the commentators about how important it is to have faith or to believe in Jesus at times like this. And how important it is to believe and to accept Jesus so that you can see your loved ones again. How many, and we've talked about this in recent programs, but if that is in fact the truth of God, carry on with the logic, and consider how many people get shut out of the kingdom of heaven. If we have an immortal soul and we're to go to heaven when we die, or to hell if we behave badly, how many are going to hell? I would think most of humanity. What kind of plan and purpose, what kind of plan of redemption is this, in fact? You better get into your Bible if you want to understand that purpose and plan that God's working out here below. We've talked about mystery of the ages in many of our recent programs. All of the most important questions in life asked right here on the cover. Did you ever ask yourself, who am I? What am I? Why am I? You are a mystery. Why did God create us? Why did he bring us into existence? He did do that. He is the great creator God. But then why is the world the way it is today? Why is there so much crime and violence and hatred and division and strife? It's all explained in here. The second chapter, by the way, this is Mystery of the Ages. Let me just flip over to the table of contents. Chapter 2, The Mystery of Angels and Evil Spirits. Do you think you would benefit from that study? I think you will. I believe you will. The mystery. The mystery of angels and evil spirits. That follows the first chapter. Who and what is God? Chapter 3, the mystery of man. Chapter 4, the mystery of civilization. This book will tell you everything you need to know in order to understand your world, the world that you're living in at this moment. Why is this world the way it is? My father says, our society is unraveling because of our evil way of life. We're just seeing it unravel every day. We're seeing it unravel. We're seeing politicians, leaders scrambling. I thought it was, I didn't get her clip, the fake vice president, Kamala Harris. She was saying how it has to stop. These things have to stop. And she assured those viewing her lecture that whatever gathering she was in, they were prominent people. The leaders, she said. And she said that in her speech. Look, we are, those of us in this room here, we're the leaders. Wow. They're convinced. Even as the nation goes up in flames, they're convinced. They're still doing a fantastic job. That everything is, if they could just get one more policy through, if they could just get one more law approved in Congress, then problem solved. This is the way they think. Mark Hemingway, he tweeted out, "The fact is that there's no big advance in firearm lethality compared to what citizens could own decades before we ever had regular mass shootings. People had powerful guns decades ago. People had powerful firearms, rifles, handguns. They had them hundreds of years ago in the United States." He says here, Hemingway does, "I'm open to hearing about gun legislation, but it's our culture that changed to enable this, not guns." You look through the charts from the 1990s, the 2000s, the past decade. Now we're into the 2020s. And you see, I think Columbine was back in 1999. There were mass shootings earlier in that decade. And then just the horrific acts of violence in the 2000s. And how that is just getting worse and worse and worse. It's on the increase. This deranged shooter yesterday carried out his attack in a similar way that the shooter in Connecticut did 10 years ago when he killed 20 grade schoolers and teachers and his mother. And here it just happens again 10 years later. The Daily Wire says of the shooter, familiar portrait. It's a familiar portrait. This is commenting on a portrait, I guess, at the Washington Post. But it's a familiar portrait of a violent individual who appears to have previous encounters with law enforcement officials. It's like a broken record. He comes from a dysfunctional family, and he's had all of these encounters with law enforcement officials. My father says in the Jeremiah booklet that in order to fix the problems in a family, first the father and the mother need to be unified, and then they bring the kids into that unity. See, build up a solid family structure, a solid family. Do you see the leaders, as Kamala Harris said, are the leaders trying to build up the family? This is from The Federalist, the Biden administration. The money that they're withholding from the school lunch programs, unless these schools allow kids to choose which bathroom they want to use. So there's no funding for any kind of additional security at these schools, but they'll certainly withdraw funding from the lunch program if you don't conform to their woke policies. Says here, K through 12 schools must allow boys into girls' private areas to obtain federal funds for lunches, breakfasts, and snacks, the Biden administration announced this month. A U.S. Department of Education spokesman told The Federalist, the Biden administration's press releases from several agencies announcing this policy will be followed by formal rulemaking in June. That's coming up just next month, just next week. It says here, under this new demand, establishments that accept any federal food funding, including food stamps, must also allow males who claim to be female to access female private spaces such as showers, bathrooms, and sleeping areas. Such organizations must also follow protocols such as requiring staff to use inaccurate pronouns to describe transgender people and allowing male staff to dress as women while on the job. Isn't this wonderful? They want to put all this into your schools where your children attend. And meanwhile, you're worried about the next deranged lunatic, the mass murderer that's going to waltz into the school where there's really no border security. There's no border security for the nation. And there's not much security for the schools. The things that the United States sees like, well, hey, we've got to have the protection here. You go into a ball game, there's the metal detectors, there's the one point of entry or the carefully monitored points of entry. But with a school, I guess, you know, we can't do that. We don't want to have it's a gun-free zone. Well, the killers love the gun-free zones. They love these soft targets. They go in and there's no resistance. They go in and it's like a video game. I'll see if I can kill more than the last guy killed. Listen to Tucker's response to Joe Biden again. He gets up and just a couple minutes into his speech last night, he says that, you know, the problem here is the gun lobby. He takes God's name in vain multiple times. Says we got to stand up to the gun manufacturers. And then problem solved. This was Tucker's reaction, clip 3.
Sir, President of the United States, frail, confused, bitterly partisan, desecrating the memory of recently murdered children with tired talking points from the Democratic Party, dividing the country in a moment of deep pain rather than uniting. His voice rising, amplified only as he repeats the talking points he repeated for over 35 years in the United States Senate. Partisan politics being the only thing that animates him. Unfit for leadership of this country.
Strong condemnation coming from Tucker, and he's right. He's completely right. This is a man who's unfit. He's not even legitimate. And there he is. And everyone knew. Everyone, as soon as he gets the talking points from Obama, you had to know what he was going to go after. Even his parents were waiting to find out if their child had been murdered. This was Dana Lash. She was on at the end of Tucker's show, commenting on Biden's attack on the gun lobby. Clip four.
You know what the gun lobby is? There's no old-timey gun lobby. The modern gun lobby, no. It's voters. It's people who go and cast their votes to protect themselves. Nothing was said about the parents. Nothing was asked about school security. It's irresponsible. America deserves better than President McUnity with his hatefulness and divisiveness. He ought to look into the scripture about bearing false witness if he wants to cite the Bible.
Again, strong condemnation. And, you know, she's on to something there about the rest of the Bible, right? People come on to these shows and they're just so selective. Their outrage is selective. Their quotations, Biden himself cited scripture before he went on his rampage against the gun lobby. Why is it? Even with mass shooters, there's a selectivity, as I noted last week. Some mass shooters we really got to focus on. Other ones, not so much. The subway shooter, Las Vegas, I mean, he was shooting a lot of Trump supporters, so forget about him. He's a mystery man. We don't even really know what he was connected to. The lone wolf. Yeah, he was acting alone. So let's dust it off. I mean, that was, do you remember that in 2017? This shooter in high atop this hotel, just gunning, I forget how many people died as a result of it. Dozens and dozens and hundreds injured. And the media just kind of dusted off and moved on. How do you explain this kind of selectivity, as I say? This was a tweet from Dana Lash after that show. She says, The gun lobby didn't head his household. The gun lobby didn't neglect to monitor his behavior. The gun lobby didn't neglect. And she has gun lobby in quotes because, as she said there in that clip, there is no old-timey gun lobby. I guess you could attack the NRA or the gun manufacturers or the Second Amendment. If you're honest, just go after the Second Amendment and say it needs to be overturned or blotted out. She says the gun lobby didn't neglect to secure the school. The gun lobby didn't leave any doors unlocked, and the gun lobby didn't tell him to murder anyone. There's a section in America Under Attack. Again, this is the booklet by my father. Came out in 2013. Someone sent me an email of two speakers at an engagement that they've titled America Under Attack. Wow, I don't know if we copyrighted this headline or this the title for this booklet. But there's now conservative speakers going to a conference, evidently, titled America Under Attack. Well, we've got one of our own coming up this summer, this fall, as we get the new version of America Under Attack, the updated and expanded version of this booklet. And we're going to make it available at personal appearance campaigns. Obviously, we'll plug it on this program and on the Key of David, my father's show, and we'll send it out to as many people as possible. There's a section in this booklet, The Reason for the Second Amendment. What? Here again, root causes. Why? Why did the founders put this in place? Were they looking ahead to a time when people would be so deranged and demon-possessed and irreligious and anti-God that they'd then take those firearms and start shooting up schools? Well, those same founders said, look, if you aren't grounded in religion and morality, this whole experiment is going to break down. It's not going to work out. Those same founders put in place the Second Amendment. My father says in America Under Attack, look at the way the administration, this is speaking of Obama, look at the way the administration is handling the gun control debate in America today. And he cites a mass shooting from that other elementary school in Connecticut. My father says, nearly every time a tragedy like this happens, there is a dysfunctional family in the background. Something is wrong with our families, my father wrote. Something is wrong with our families. The families aren't working. The families are breaking down. The families are upside down. The families have no father. Read Isaiah 3. The children oppress. The women rule. The fathers aren't mentioned. That's Isaiah 3. It says here, yet what is the solution according to the politicians and the media? Ban the guns. The radical left wants to take away people's guns, at least the guns of law-abiding people. That's right. The Biden administration hardly waits a few seconds for the facts to roll in before it gets up and says, you know what the solution to this is? More power for the centralized government of the United States. And all of that's discussed in America Under Attack. Great again, same thing. It's a power grab. That's what it amounts to. They want to take guns from the ordinary law-abiding citizens, not from the crazed lunatics. It says here, yet what is the solution? According to the politicians and the media, ban the guns. The radical left wants to take away people's guns, at least the guns of law-abiding people. Further on, it says, why don't we start with getting rid of the bloody television programs? Is it possible that's a bigger problem? He says further on, that isn't the reason for the Second Amendment. Let me just back up so you get the context. The Second Amendment is in the U.S. protects the people's right to bear arms. But for what? If you listen to the left, you would never know. To hear them talk about it, its purpose is so Americans can go out and shoot deer. My father says that isn't the reason for the Second Amendment at all. The main point was to protect the citizens from government tyranny. The government might decide to take over, and if you don't have guns or something to defend yourself, what are you going to do? Unless, he has in parentheses, unless you have God's protection, which we in the family of God have. But leave that aside. God's flock, God's family, it's just a small group, a tiny little flock in this world today, this world that has gone mad. It says here, why won't the radical liberals mention that? It says here, government tyranny is routine in human history, and they know it. Why are they so deceitful? Is it because they have an ulterior motive? Well, for sure they do. Their motive is to get as much power as possible. They'll do anything, as my father has written, to gain hold of power, or to grab hold of power, or to maintain their grip on power. It says here, on January 16, 2013, President Obama signed 23 executive actions on gun control and then urged Congress to pass even stricter gun laws. This is all, like I've said in recent programs, it's all part of the fundamental transformation. It's all part of the plan. It says here, the president, speaking of Obama, is eager to restrict guns, but what is he doing to stop drug cartels making inroads into America? It's like Sam was saying this morning. I mean, you think about the people overdosing on drugs, more than 100,000 last year. 100,000, not 19, not 26, not 55, 100,000. And what is done? What is being done to address that problem? Absolutely nothing. 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 Because that's part of the radical plan. We've got to have wide open borders. You've got all the globalists in Davos right now talking about a world without borders. Talking about how that, well, we've just got to bring everyone together underneath our oppressive policies. They're good socialists. They're communists. And they're convinced if they have all the power and all the money and the wealth together with that, and then everyone else has virtually nothing, that would lead to a beautiful, happy, peaceful, prosperous world. There are your leaders, like Kamala said in her speech last night. Look at us in this room. We're the leaders. We're the ones with the solutions. We can solve these problems. Can they? Can they? Do they really know the Bible? Those leaders that will often quote it when there's a tragedy, such as Uvalde, Texas, do they really know the Bible? Do they really know God? Do they really know what God says about this world? Do they know anything about the coming kingdom of God? Do they ever talk about the return of Jesus Christ to this earth? Do they ever talk about the purpose for the church and the first fruits harvest, as I've talked about in recent programs, and how that there's a much greater fall harvest coming, where everyone who's ever lived will have an opportunity for salvation, where everyone will have an opportunity to live the way of give, to live a life, to live out a physical life in obedience to God's commandments, and to see, to have proof every day right in front of them that, you know what, there's cause and effect, and when we obey the laws of God, it brings great peace and happiness and prosperity and contentment into our lives. And we can say goodbye to our kids as we send them off to elementary school and know that they're going to be safe, that they're going to be protected, that they're going to be taught the principles and the laws and the teachings of God. What a time that will be. Your Bible talks about it from beginning to end, cover to cover. Yes, there's verses like Ezekiel 7 where it talks about the bloody crimes chained together, just one after another. But this is all that's prophesied to happen just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Just before, let's conclude over in Revelation 11, the scripture that speaks of the return of Christ and that time when all nations will come underneath the government of God. It says in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 11 and verse 15. You don't hear any of the pastors on with the news commentators last night, or any night for that matter, speaking of this blessed event. The end of this age, it's near. It's even at the door. The return of Christ is nearly upon us. It says here, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because you have taken to you your great power and have reigned. See, God's purpose shall stand. This is Jesus Christ taking to himself his great power, the great power that God gives to him, and he will reign. It says in verse 18, and the nations, listen to this, the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, it says. And the time of the dead, that they shall that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto your servant, the prophets, and so on. The nations are going to resist against it. God actually has to impose his will on the nations of this earth to force them into submission. And then, finally, you've got the family of God. They will have been prepared for this moment. They will have been trained. The family of God will be there ready to assist Jesus Christ to rule the whole earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you didn't get the 800 number to request America Under Attack or Mystery of the Ages, that's 1-866-930-3024. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.